House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird. Bird. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel. Seiler.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery. Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Harvey excused. Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Louts.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne. Throne.
Here.
Throne excused. Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Bird excused. 57 present, 3 excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by our own pastor, Representative Nathan Winters.
I must say I'm thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to serve with you. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being your servants. And we thank you for the guidance that you've offered during this session. And I pray for those across the state today who will live with the decisions made on this floor. Someone who serves as a firefighter, a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, those who are in harm's way, I pray for them. But Lord, in all of these, we acknowledge our need of you and of your wisdom. And as we head home, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember that you'll keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on you because they trust in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live that way, living for the eternal rather than just the things in front of us. And I pray that our minds would rest in peace in you as we dwell on the things that we ought to. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Write that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 3rd, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
Write that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message 267, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 155, Electronic Citation Fees, Noes 21, Ayes 9. This bill has been indefinitely postponed. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Brothers and sisters, we will break. The reason I'm trying to force this through is that we will break at 11. There's a substantial gift being given to the state of Wyoming at 11 in the rotunda. And so we'll break for that. The doctor of the day is Dr. Christina Berenger, MD, from Cheyenne. The nurse of the day is our own Representative Kasparek. Representative Davison, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today it's my privilege to have a page from Evanston, Wyoming, and his name's Degree Day, and he's very, very interested in what we do down here. He keeps track of the bills. He's just, some of you might remember Hite Prophet. That was his great-grandfather. So he's here to help us today and to learn, and he's very excited, and we're excited to have him. And with him is his grandmother Prophet up in the balcony, so please welcome her. Degree's teacher is Mr. Pieperinen.
Representative Summers, privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Certainly.
Thank you. Fellow members, Pinedale's junior council members are in Cheyenne for the legislative session this week. They serve as an important link between the youth of Pinedale community and the town government. They are appointed as high school juniors and serve a two-year term. They are here today along with Pinedale Mayor Stephen Smith. I'd like to draw your attention to the south balcony, and if you could please welcome Tanner Trujillo, Savannah Mitchell, Fallon Ramsey, Shayla Wright, and Pinedale Mayor Steve Smith.
Welcome to the House. And Degree, you welcome to the House, and thank you for helping us today. Brothers and sisters, it's come to that point in the session where in the North Gallery, we'd like to recognize our House clerical assistants. These 10 individuals arrive every morning before 7 a.m. to organize your desks for the day. Today is their last day for the session. I would like each of them to stand as I read their names. Yvonne Quintel, Clerical Assistant Supervisor, Pat Camillo, Lynn Davis, Cindy Farwell, Bob Jansen, Karen Lippincott, Michelle Lucero, Esther Moore, Gwen Vines, and Edith Valsler. Thank you for your tireless efforts to keep us organized. Thank you all very much for what you do. Anyone else with privileges of the floor? We're at that order of business of bills or... We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11 from the Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
There are three amendments to Senate File 11. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Well, we're off to the races, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment 1 to Senate File 11 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, as we are working on the capital renovation, it's come to our knowledge that with the Committee of Technology and Legislative Process, that it may be possible that we're going to need to go to a couple of different capitals that have been recently restored to the most modern state for technology. So there's a couple states in mind, one on the East Coast possibly, and one in our western region. And so what this is doing is just allowing for an appropriation and a direction in case that was necessary. There's nothing finalized at this point, but if we're going to be spending this type of money, and as we know with the technology needs and the changes that we're making, it would be probably behoove us to look at modern meeting rooms and ways that people have set up their audiovisual and done different things to make certain that we have good access to the Capitol for the people of Wyoming. So that is the reason for this amendment.
Any further discussion? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. As your Chair of Legislative Facilities, I just wanted to add my support to this amendment. And as your Capital Task Force Chair, I think this is necessary and appropriate, and we do need to start looking at these processes in other states. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have seen in the real estate business virtual tours. 360-degree panoramas. Has anyone given any thought to just completing this task digitally?
Chairman Horseman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just wondering that if somewhere in the feed bill, was there not money perhaps in a carryover appropriation or the special contingency that would maybe already accomplish this? And then, of course, how that would affect the whole budget to the process. I mean, we're going to eventually allocate $269 million. You'd think somewhere in there we could find $25,000 to make sure we've studied these issues.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Madam Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did not review the $259 million budget to see if this would be appropriate to take out of there, but I do believe we still need to have that direction from this body in order to do this if it deems necessary. So it's quite an infrastructure that we're going to be putting in place, and I think that we can't just leave it to possibly virtual or possibly not reviewing other chambers that have done this. So with that, I would ask for your favorable eye.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File number 11, please rise. Those opposed?
Thank you.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28 has, or Senate File 11 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 11. Representative Zwanitzer and Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if you'd come up here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 with some trepidation now to Senate File 11 and would ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the 62nd, what this appropriation does is provide funding for our break rooms for both the House and the Senate for the two-year period starting in 2015-2016. You'll notice in the language for per diem reasons, so this doesn't count against our per diem, this just covers water, soda, coffee, tea. It would cover the silverware, the plates, the facility, etc. It wouldn't cover things like donuts or bagels or cinnamon rolls because those could be counted as per diem. But what this also covers is our gift fund, the courtesy flowers we send to former legislators' families when they pass away, leadership gifts at the end of the two-year session. Our budget roughly now is about $27,000 for the two-year period when you divide it up among the 90 legislators. And so this would cover the half that is used for gifts, memorials, flowers, and then the basic utensils, water, soda, coffee. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope that the body will resoundingly vote this down. This is a per diem expense. We're very well paid for that, and it's $1 or $2 a day, and it just requires simple budgeting. And, you know, this is the kind of publicity I don't think this body needs at this time.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I am rising in opposition to this. I don't think the people of Wyoming should pay for our snacks and for our whatever we want to eat. I think that should be our responsibility, and we get per diem to take care of those things. I hope the body will resist this. Thank you.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. In concept, I don't think it's a bad idea, but it causes some problems in that not only do we all contribute to the courtesy fund, but staff does as well. Right now they have the flexibility to go out and purchase from a variety of vendors throughout the town to bring it back to us. If we do this, then somehow there's going to have to be a system where they would go to LSO to purchase these products, and I think it kind of compounds the problem. Even though I do kind of agree with the concept, I think it causes our staff some problems.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. It's not often I get an ask for a resounding no on one of my amendments, but vote your conscience. Certainly this is not a per diem expense. I carefully worded it so it doesn't get covered under per diem. And certainly we would still have the half for anything that would fall under per diem for those things I mentioned, bagels, donuts, anything that could be considered a continental breakfast. Also, I don't find that this would really create that much havoc. Those of you who haven't worked in state government, you get a P card, you have an expense account, you can spend up to that amount. The staff would still be required if they wanted to get bagels, donuts, muffins, et cetera, foodstuffs, that they would do the same process we have now. What this really does is take out the memorial fund, the tributes, those other expenses that aren't necessarily food-related, but it still does include the coffee, the tea, the milk, those basic things which don't fall under. So vote your conscience. I was just trying to make sure we don't get nickel and dimed to death in the session or for the next session, those of us who come back. Thanks.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 11. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 11 has resoundingly failed. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I resoundingly move Senate File 11 amendment number 2. That's what I said. Excuse me. Sorry, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would move House reading, second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 11 and ask for your resounding consideration. And that was a hard one to follow, and I know because things on this floor sometimes run in streaks. Now, what I did, members, is first of all, the debate yesterday was very fun. I think 20 of us spoke on that issue of laptops. I wanted to make clear, though, and I went back and listened to the tape, and I referenced at the very beginning, I said that for years, I said for years we've been told that we can't have anything else on this floor. And then when I mentioned that the chief technology official brought in his fruit laptop, and I certainly didn't want that to be insensitive to our staff who work so hard here. And I think and I don't know that any of us, I certainly didn't intend it that way, and if anybody took it that way. And then when the speaker and I got going back and forth, the speaker said, staff has told me this will be a train wreck, this will be. And then I had staff coming to me and say, well, we didn't tell. And so, for number one, this has nothing to do with our staff. It's about us 60 elected folks, and we are all so appreciative of our staff and all the challenges. So let's first say that on the road. And if, boy, if anybody was felt uncomfortable by our debate yesterday, there were certainly no intentions of that. And I want to say that up front. Okay, so members, you can see the wording on this amendment. And it throws this to our select committee. And that was part of the argument yesterday, that we have a select committee for this. And so if you read down about line 7 or 8, it says, it talks about the committee, and then it says, shall conduct a review of multiple products, including an evaluation of tablets and laptops, and may suggest a pilot project involving alternate computer operating systems. The committee shall provide a report of the advantages and disadvantages, the evaluated options to the management council prior to initiating the procurement process to purchase the computers. So that's it. So I'd stand for any questions.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I heard yesterday, I agree with the good chairman of appropriations. There was never any intent to place staff in a bad position, and if we did that, we apologize. We're 5 years down this river. We've been planning. We've been spending millions of dollars. And now we're switching rivers in mid-journey and looking at a different river. And I heard that yesterday while I was off the floor that after this week, I will be irrelevant and my opinion means little. And the new chairman of the select committee on washing windows and polishing desks will have to consider that irrelevance, I guess, for the next 9 months. But I just want us to think, brothers and sisters, we have lots of political whims and we kind of change journeys, but we need to make sure that when we make a plan that sometimes we stick with it. And I'm not, I guess, I don't object too much to alternate pilot projects and spending money studying something. I just worry sometimes that we change course in midstream, and that places a burden on our system and a larger expense. So when you vote, think of that.
Representative Nicholas.
My good friends of the House, I just don't know if we want to take one bite of this forbidden fruit.
Representative Mader.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on and for this amendment for one reason. I want to state my bias right at the beginning. I was given a computer when I came here last week, and it has been worked on and worked on and worked on, and it still doesn't work. And I've got to be really good friends with the tech department, and I'm very thankful that they can help me because I'm not very computer literate. And having said that, I also encourage you, I think we need to think about this because I think we're delaying the inevitable. I really think about that, folks, on a big deal. We ought to at least look at this. I know it would be terribly expensive to change things around, but there have been so much advancements in technology, and even this old boy, after losing two computers to viruses, PCs, have embraced the fruit. And I'm not very tech-savvy, and it has been very extremely beneficial, so I would stand on and for the amendment.
Representative Eklund.
I haven't spoken on it, and I am, you know, I'm probably the resident hillbilly when it comes to technology. I have more trouble with that thing than you can imagine. Anything we can do to make this easier for someone who doesn't use those things very often. And I think maybe I'm not the only hillbilly in here. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and to the good speaker's comments. And we have really, over our time in the legislature, I think we've served together the last 10 years, have really developed a lifelong friendship. And part of the fun on ushering a speaker out of his final session is pretty nostalgic in here. I almost get moisty eyes thinking about it. But part of the fun is letting him know that we can still whip him every now and then. That's one point. And I love my speaker dearly and appreciate all the good work he's done, really, for this entire body, for all of us. But nevertheless, while I'm cleaning the desk this summer and washing the windows, I hope to be doing it. I will bring my own piece of fruit. And hopefully, and then continue to log into the legislative intranet. Okay, with that said, I just wanted to, in all seriousness, back to this amendment. It really is a mirror of what I put in the budget about 6 years ago to start this process, and that's really transformed Appropriations Committee. Just by moving to that tablet, and then others have migrated from those tablets, but it was a couple-year push to finally get going. And so I softened it much from yesterday and respectfully ask for your consideration. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 11. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 11 has passed. Senate File 11 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 28. There are amendments. Representative Conley.
I'd read it first.
Oh.
Senate File 28.
The reading clerk will read the bill.
Thank you very much. Senate File 28 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
There are amendments. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Friends, if you remember that this is the bill that we voted on yesterday that establishes the path for what happens when there is actual innocence post-conviction. And if you remember, we had a standing committee amendment that changed one of the shalls in the bill to may. And what this amendment does two things. The first one is it addresses that changing of the shall to may. And that, to me, is an important change in the bill that the standing committee did, which, again, after someone who has been convicted goes through the process of establishing clear and convincing evidence that he or she is actually innocent, what the may does is allows for a judge to say, in lieu of a trial, that there may or may not be an order of actual innocence. Before the change from shall to may, all of the directives to the courts were shall. And we had a section in the bill that said there was no appeal possible. Now that we have changed one of the important shalls to a may, to me it's important that there's due process guarantees that allow for an appeal. And so the first part of this amendment on lines 9 through 12 changes the language that says that there's no appeal possible to any party may appeal to the Wyoming Supreme Court. And again, for me, this is an important element of due process because of that change from shall to may. The second part of this second reading amendment is that, if you'll notice, on the last pages, we had an addition to our existing immunity statute. 139.120 is exclusions from waivers of immunity. And Part A says that, I'm sorry, the page beforehand, Part A says that a governmental entity and its public employees, while acting within the scope of duties, are granted immunity. This is our standard immunity statute. What we do with the next section is add to that. We've already have immunity for public employees acting within the scope of their duties. This one says, if you look down on line 17, that this move-in, who now has been found actually innocent, all right, either by a new trial or by a judge granting kind of that actual innocence based on evidence, that when there's improper denial of compensation, the individual can't sue. All right? To me, that goes too far. And so what this second reading amendment does is it deletes this Part B and has our existing immunity statute just stand. So that's the second reading amendment. Any questions?
Representative Conley, would you move the amendment,
yes,
please?
Yes, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. And let me walk you through sort of why. So right now, let's say if somebody was in prison that should not be there, that they're actually innocent, the proper procedure right now is to actually, pretty much the only procedure, is to ask for a pardon from the governor. Or you could ask for a commutation of your sentence. What we were wanting to create was a court system by which somebody could come into court and prove their innocence. There's sometimes some issues with the pardon system, depending on how each governor handles that. The difficulty is, in particularly on page 10, one of the reasons that you do bills like this is that it shifts the financial burden. So let's say someone was found to be actually innocent, just they proved it through some other means. They potentially could sue the state. So one of the reasons you want to create a statute like this and create a compensation mechanism is so that you protect your treasury. You don't want it to be wide open for someone to come in and try and get around the Governmental Claims Act and argue willful and wanton and those types of things, and try to come in and obtain money that direction. So removing the immunity part defeats the whole bill. I mean, if you're going to allow them to get compensation through our compensation fund, but also sue us, why would you even have the bill in the first place? The second part on the appeal, again, this is a pretty narrow issue, and we already have some concerns from district court judges coming up that you're going to open the door here. And that's why we tried to keep this door very narrow, that these are non-DNA cases, but they're not recantations, they're not that type of thing. They're truly someone, primarily what you're going to find, it's people coming forward and saying, he didn't murder those 10 children, I'm the mass murderer, I'm the guy that did it. That's the kind of case that you're going to see. And so that would give that process. When you allow for the appeal, what's going to happen potentially is everybody sitting over in Rawlins has some time on their hands. They're going to figure out how to write these motions. They're going to figure out how to do these affidavits. And they're all going to start filing them. And pretty soon we're going to have some district court judges asking us for more money because their courts are overloaded. I like this bill. I want this bill to pass. But at the same time, I want to make sure we keep this bill extremely narrowly focused and keep it with no appeal. And certainly, we definitely want to protect the Treasury. So opening this up to allow a lawsuit against the state of Wyoming, I think, is just the wrong direction with this with that amendment. I'd urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the good chairman of Judiciary. I do want to go back and argue that the change from shall to may was something that was made in the standing committee after this bill had been vetted in the interim with the shall standing, that the allowance of an appeal after we're now allowing judicial discretion is an important element of due process and doesn't change the incredibly narrow and difficult focus of this bill. It is very narrowly drawn. And again, that second part of immunity, we already have immunity for state actors. There's nothing in this section that changes how the state coffers are protected or not protected. So I encourage you to vote aye.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 2. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment 2 to Senate File 28. This amendment just polishes up the process and then makes it so that if somebody wants to get into the state coffers, they have to do more than just be acquitted. It's a polish-up language. The first part of the amendment just puts a deadline in so that if somebody is actually innocent, the court can make that. The court has to make that decision within 150 days, rather 30 days, but it can be extended to 150 days without sitting on it for a long period of time, because if somebody's actually innocent, you don't want to keep them in jail for a long time when they're actually innocent. It also allows the court to decide the motion without having a hearing. If the facts are so compelling that the court doesn't need to have a hearing, there's no reason to delay the docket doing that. The other part of the amendment, and there's a lot of technical changes, but essentially what it says is, the operative part is down on lines 41 to the next page, says that if somebody wants to get compensation from the state of Wyoming, they have to prove by a preponderance of the evidence, which is the lightest standard in jurisprudence. It's when the scales just barely tip one way or another. They have to prove that they're actually innocent. When somebody makes a claim against the state for civil causes of action, they have to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that they're entitled to compensation. And we should have not a lesser standard for those people who want to get into our state coffers for actual innocence. They should prove that they're actually innocent, because there's a difference between somebody being acquitted because you can't prove the charges and somebody who's actually innocent. And so with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This is a very good amendment, and I'd urge you to vote yes. In committee, we tried to figure out how to fix the problem that the Speaker has fixed for us. And he actually brought us an amendment in committee, but it wasn't quite there, and then he had one on first reading yesterday that he pulled, and this is actually the third version, and actually the third version finally has it right. So it's actually great that the concept has been worked on over the process. It's exactly what we were trying to get at. We just weren't sure how to get at it. And it came to us, one of the prosecutors came and discussed this with us in committee. What happens after the court agrees that the person should get a new trial? What happens if you have that new trial and you're acquitted? They didn't say you were actually innocent. They just acquitted you. Or if the prosecutor, and this is the more likely scenario, so much time has gone by, the prosecutor doesn't have any of his evidence anymore. Either it's been lost or witnesses die, things like that. And so what this does, it provides for the second hearing for actual innocence which is a good idea on how to make the system work even better. And I appreciate the speaker bringing the amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up on that, we have a statute on the books right now, which is Wyoming Statute 7-12-310, and it deals with DNA. And in that statute, if years down the road they come back and they retest the DNA, and it's inconclusive, right now the statute says the court shall, and the language is shall, vacate and enter an order of actual innocence. And so this statute actually, and I've got an amendment coming up on the next bill, needs to be altered and make consistent with this amended language. Because right now, we can take the example of the case that was in here in Cheyenne where a person was exonerated as actually innocent under this statute, when in fact, if you have a discussion with the prosecutor, there's tons of evidence to demonstrate that he's actually guilty of the crime. The DNA was just came back as inconclusive. But because it was 20 years plus after the incident happened, the witnesses have all moved away. A lot of the evidence in the locker boxes is simply gone, so they can't go back and retry the case. But if you ask the prosecutor, he will tell you with hand over his heart, this man is not innocent. But because of our statute, there's a judgment that says he is innocent. And so this amendment, plus the amendment will come on the following bill on Senate File 30, will help take care of that problem. So I'm all in favor of the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, thank you. I agree with the good gentleman from Laramie from Cheyenne just said. And on the next bill, that would make sense to do an amendment to make these two match up and to do the one he was talking about.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This is, there was a famous football player who was famous for the phrase, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. And the way that this statute would read now, the state of Wyoming would be obligated to pay compensation because the glove didn't fit when, after that, he had a civil judgment. And so I'd urge you to vote for this amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 28. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 28 has passed. Senate File 28 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30. The reading clerk shall read the bill.
Senate File 30 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
There are amendments. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number 1. This does two things. Throughout the bill, we had switched A and I over to the Attorney General's office. We missed a few spots, so you'll see that we're switching A and I over to the AG's office. The other one was we had in there effective as of the date of this act. The act is actually what we passed back in 2008. So what I needed to insert was July 1, 2014, so it was clear what day we were talking about. So that's all the amendment does.
Anyone for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 30. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 30 has passed. We're on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 30. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 30. This is the companion amendment to the one that we just discussed on Senate File 28. It defines factual innocence as did not engage in the conduct for which the person was convicted or engage in original offense or a lesser felony offense or anything that constitutes a conspiracy to commit the offense. So you might have been convicted of one thing, but before you get into the state's coffers, you can't be guilty of other offenses. And then it allows for that order of actual innocence hearing where the defendant would have to prove by a preponderance of evidence that they're entitled to get into the state's coffers.
Chairman Gingrey. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This is the same as we saw in the previous bill, so it'll just make them consistent, and so I'd urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 30. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 30 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 30. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Ms. Majority Floor Leader. What this third reading does is does two things. First of all, it changes the amount of compensation from $500,000 down to $250,000. Under the Governmental Claims Immunity Act right now, if you bring a claim against the state, the maximum the state has to pay is $250,000. And you can't put a figure on what's fair, what's reasonable, or how much you pay per day. My point is, in this motion, is basically, look, if that's the maximum that anyone can bring against the state of Wyoming under the Governmental Claims Immunity Act, that ought to be what the amount of that we're limited to in this type of situation. Then that's the first part of the amendment. The second part, if you go down to line 16, this just modifies the second reading enactment, what we just did in terms of sequence of when this goes into effect, and deletes the House Committee of the Whole amendment. And basically this says this is going to go in effect on July 1st, 2014. And the reason for that, folks, is that the amendments that we just passed that requires a hearing. If there's anyone out there that may have been exonerated, my point is that you have to go through the process that we're creating, and that is you've got to have the hearing, you've got to be exonerated, and demonstrate to the court that you are indeed innocent other than just having an inconclusive DNA. So the purpose of the amendment is to make sure that any awards, any amounts of dollars that we pay out, that there's been a hearing and actual innocence has been determined by a court.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This one's really hard because this isn't I can't get up here and say vote aye, vote no. This is a real policy one. And one of the things we tried to do during the interim and definitely during the committee hearings that we've held the last few weeks on this bill was try to distinguish between the hypothetical of in the future and what is actually happening right now. And there is a case going on right now. And we tried to keep it in the area of the hypothetical and not concentrate on the actual case that is ongoing. But this amendment definitely brings us right back to the case that's ongoing because what this does is how we have it written right now, so how the bill's written is anyone who has an order of exoneration in hand who obtained it within the last 2 years, they can now petition for the funds, and the funds would be up to $500,000. That would mean the gentleman here in this county that we're at has that order in hand. He already has it. He could come in and do it. If you pass this amendment, he's going to have to go do that now second hearing. I don't have a really great opinion on that one way or the other. I'm just pointing that out, that's the difference, that as it's written right now, he could come in right now and get his money. Or what this amendment would do, he would need to go and do the second hearing. The other thing this amendment's doing, that's the first thing this amendment doing. The other thing the amendment's doing is a real interesting issue that the good representative from Cheyenne is bringing up. And it's a good policy discussion. We had this discussion. So how much do you pay a person that's been wrongly imprisoned? So forget the case that everybody's talking about here in this county. Just think of a hypothetical. Think of yourself. Think of somebody you know that just got wrongfully convicted. They've sat in prison for years. I actually met a man. He was at an event I was at, and I met him. He actually was convicted for murdering a young girl. He served 25 years in prison in Maryland. And then it turned out the guy that actually did it came forward later on. And this man had served 25 years of his life wrongfully. The question starts to become, well, how much is that worth? How much is 25 years of your life worth? And each state has sort of come at it from a different point of view. If you're going to couple it with the Governmental Claims Act, which is what this amendment does, then $250,000 makes sense. If you think someone deserves more than $250,000, that's why the $500,000 is in there. Some states have gone well beyond the $500,000. It really comes down to what you think that's worth. Now, I'll argue one issue on behalf of the good representative from Cheyenne, because someone used a really good analogy with me. They said, okay, under the Governmental Claims Act, if one of our YDOT employees negligently, it's not willfully, just negligently, runs over a kid and you sue the state of Wyoming, the most you can get is $250,000. Is there a difference there? Should one get more than the other? Should they be connected? Should our governmental claims amount of $250,000 be the same as what we would give someone who's been wrongfully convicted? I don't know. You know, that one I go back and forth on. But right now, as the bill's written, it's $500,000. It's $100 a day. We add it up, and the most you can get is $500,000. We actually pay it out through an annuity, so you get $50,000 a year. What this amendment would do is lower that down to $250,000. Both are good issues. I'm glad the good representative brought them forward, because I think they're issues that need to be debated. But I don't have the answers.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to move to divide the amendment. First division being lines 1 through 3 and lines 9 through 21. Second division being line 5 through 7. Mr. Majority Floor, just for clarification, the second division is only lines 5 through 7.
Ladies and gentlemen, the House will stand at ease, and that will give us time to everyone to look at this division, and we have the event in the rotunda, and we'll...
Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe the first division would be 1 through 3, and then lines 11 through 21, and the second division would actually be lines 5 through 9.
Running out of ink here, Representative Baker.
I apologize.
So now we're 1 through 3... And 11 through 21 are Division 1. Is that the way you want it?
Yes, Mr. Majority Floor.
And then 4 through 10 would be Division 2.
Correct.
All right, that's the way it will stand. We'll consider it. We're going to stand at ease until the event in the rotunda concludes, and then we'll rule on the division and proceed. So is that divisible? Has he got it right now? Well,
I'll go check with him.
I'll have him come up here. Where'd he go?